You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You're sure this is being recorded this time? We did this last week and we did a whole show and I, some of me best stuff, Donald, and you were actually quite lucid as well. You made some sense for once and we found out it wasn't being recorded. So we had to call in the doctor and he disseminated the tape and pasted it and cut it and put it together and it got to air at about midnight last Tuesday. And I want to know that it's working now, is it?
I think so, yeah.
How do we test that?
No, it looks like it is. I don't know.
It looks like
it. Did he work for the state government as a bureaucrat, this bloke?
So Don, just when we finished
what?
Part one, yeah. I mentioned something. I said, no one will know what we're talking about. This is what this was about a man going to Adelaide, all right?
Oh, okay.
Council chief executive. This is in the paper, so it must be right.
Hang on, council chief executive. I mentioned that last week. It's a racket too.
A council chief executive who earns $400,000 a year.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to read out?
No. I'm agreeing.
What'd you say? Yes,
$400,000 for a council executive. Come on, please.
Yes, Don. I'll read it out. What I'll do is I'll read it and then you have some comments, eh?
You get it, yes.
Because what I do is I read two or three words out and you say, yes, that's right. I'm reading it out. Let me get through it. Here we go.
Now, it's not me that's snorting, it's you. Make that clear.
Shut up. A council executive who earns $400,000 a year has fled the restrictions in Victoria to work from his second home in Adelaide. I'm reading this out. Residents questioned how Peter Smith could head support his staff at Port Phillip Council from 700 kilometres away. Kilometres. One said it showed blatant disregard for what we're going through here. We're all in this together. Not young Pete, who's gone over to his home in Adelaide and is running the Port Phillip Council from 700k away.
I told you what was happening in my shire, the Shire of Mornington, about the employees getting bonuses. Can you believe local employees getting bonuses at the discretion of the chief executive? It's a bloody joke.
And just finally on this matter, I see Russell Crowe. Now, you know Russ, don't
you?
Yeah,
he played for Fitzroy, big fellow. Comes from Warwick. Did you ever play against him?
I did.
Oh, shit. He
was savage.
You're not wrong.
This is not the Russell Crowe.
John Kennedy said to me, this bloke will give it away. We were playing down at the Junction Oval this day. Bloody Russell Crowe. He was Mound Mountain. He kneed me in the stomach. I came in every... He said, just keep at him. You'll get a hit out. Yeah. I finally got a hit out in the last quarter.
Yeah.
He has jumped into my guts. Mm. I couldn't get off the ground. And he said,
that's why
just
I jumped into it.
What?
That's why he jumped into it. So he nullified your strength.
All right. And Kennedy said, just keep going. God.
Well, that's very interesting, Don, but that's not the Russell...
Is that the Russell Crowe?
No. We're talking about the very good actor, Russell Crowe, who was in A Beautiful Mind, I think, and also was in thing about Roger Ailes from Fox News called...
Loudest Voice.
What?
Loudest Voice.
The Gladiator. Russell Crowe, The Gladiator.
Yes, Loudest Voice. Yes. Anyhow, Russ should stick to acting. He apparently tweeted the Premier, Daniel Andrews, and said, have a listen to this, wouldn't matter how much you liked someone or how much you were a supporter of them, you wouldn't say this. You're doing a great job. Stick with it. Now, Russ, please, your allegiances are well noted, and that's fine, but... For God's sake, don't make stupid statements by saying you're doing a good job because
well, nobody
you are
else,
not.
In all seriousness, I don't think anyone else could do a better job because you're going into an unknown territory. But listen, there are a lot of other things that Daniel Andrews has got to be accountable for, and that inquiry really does get up my skirt that they do not have to go and appear before the inquiry.
You're just shooting yourself down, Don.
No. There was.
How can he be doing a good job if that's one of your criticisms?
He is a very sneaky man. And referring.
What is wrong with you? I've said that is. I'm not personally saying.
I'm talking about two different issues here. We've got coronavirus and we've got what he is doing away from, well,
you
it's
mean
related.
He's government sneaky. Don't say Dan sneaky, Don, please, because that we're not. We're, this is a government thing. This is not a personal thing. Be careful. Now, Don. So Russ, very great Australian actor. Is he Australian?
Yeah, no, New Zealander.
Oh, his first film, I think, was Romper Stomp. Is he here at the minute in Victoria?
Well, I think he's in New South Wales.
Is he lives, how would he know if Dan's doing a good job?
He's up with the news. He knows what
Well,
goes
he's not
on.
Obviously not up with the news, because in America they're saying we're the laughing stock of the world.
And I know it's happening.
So, Russ, please, good on you for supporting Dan, but for God's sake, don't say he's doing a good job, because that is patent nonsense.
Can you tell me why, when you – is it the National Bank you work for?
Yes.
Why did you have the longest queue?
A big pun?
Why did you have the longest queue?
In the rack?
At the Geelong Hospital when you were giving out the nurses' wages. There were another tellers there, but your queue stretched for miles. Why was that? And is that where you met Barbara Clapworthy?
Oh, you've got an amazing propensity to name names when they're not relevant and they're embarrassing to the people whose names you mention. They don't embarrass me, but you just said, oh, people don't want to be named on this show because,
well,
I'm
asking a question. Why was your queue the longest? Were the nurses...
Maybe because I was incompetent and couldn't deal with the... giving the wages out properly, and I was not as diligent or as adept.
Were you just giving out the wages?
Don, please. What are you getting
at? Johnny.
Oh, Don,
Johnny.
For God's sake, man. What do you
a
think
bank
I was...
in the
think
hospital.
Think
a
I was
bank
networking, in... do you?
Yeah. Yeah. How old were you?
How old was I? I was 21 or so.
I thought it wouldn't have been your first job out of school.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're 17, 18, I suppose.
Oh, all right. So, Don, I'm sorry I was 18. I couldn't remember back all that shit. I wasn't trying to say my age was different for any ulterior motive. I was probably 18 or 19, yes. Yeah, you know, but it's just like going to church.
What day did you give the wages out? Thursday?
Let me just think about that, Don. I can't remember, Don. It's like 6:50
weekly.
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, Don, any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. What in the hell are you talking about? I was working on behalf of the NAB, the National Bank, and I wasn't networking or getting... What did you think I was doing? Chatting up the nurses.
Well, no, you're saying all this. I'm asking I'm asking you, why did you have the longest queue?
Maybe they're in line because I did have the longest queue. Don, please, you're speaking nonsense. Now, Don, listen to me. You're a fool. Now, look, I've lost my train of thought. So here we go. So what is it about... What is it about the great chat, one of the great chats beside being players grabbing each other on the crotch and patting themselves a bit deep on the bum, one of the great talking points, can you believe it, was about staging and back chatting and shyacking with the opposition. What staging? You have a bounden duty to stage on a football field, and do you know who was the final arbiter of whether you stage or not?
The umpire.
Of course, Don, and if you have
And do you know staging started in the 50s? Remember Bob Johnson played in the forward pocket?
Tassie Bob.
No, not Tassie. Big Bob Johnson. Yeah, Tassie. There's two Johnsons.
I think he was Tassie Bob.
No, he wasn't.
Very good man, he was too. I played against him.
One was fullback, the other played...
Full forward.
In the forward pocket and also the ruck. In the ruck.
Okay, so...
There was Tassie Bob and there was Bob Johnson who came, I think,
so
from Murrumbina.
So the final arbiter of whether someone stages or not is surely the purview of the umpires. If you can't tell if someone is staging and there's plenty of people have been fined and pulled up for staging...
Why should you be fined for staging?
That's because they're saying it's bringing to the
Once
game...
Once upon a time, their most experienced players who knew how to play the game could stage.
Do you know what you do, Don? You ask
cut you off. I talk over
no,
the
no,
top
I
of
don't
you.
Mind you cutting me off. You ask a question and then I start to give you an answer and then you just go on with another question or another statement. I'm very happy for you to cut me off, but don't ask me a question if you want me to give you an answer and then cut me off. So, Don, so why would an umpire, other than the AFL, have to decide? If you knew anything about the game, you can tell if someone's staging. Exactly. And the umpire, all the umpire has to do is say, "You are staging, my friend, and I'm reversing the free kick," and that'll be the end of it.
Why or you don't even pay the free kick, John. You don't give the free kick and then reverse it. You don't pay.
All right, Don, you don't pay. That's fair enough. So why would the AFL think they have to immerse themselves in that? It is... You last week cut too much slack to the umpires. How hard is it to umpire?
It's not hard at all, John. It is very easy to umpire.
Oh, you said last week that wasn't the case. If you know anything about the game...
I said the matter of interpretation is a problem.
Well, so here this nonsensical gibberish goes on from all the football scribes about trying to be relevant by speaking about things people are interested in. Holding the ball, there's four ways you can be sprung or pinged for holding the ball. One of them is prior opportunity. The other is incorrect disposal. The third one is no attempt, and the other one is diving. I mean, so could you make the game any more complicated? Could you not tell if you were umpiring, Don, if someone was holding the ball and under what circumstances were they holding it? Having written all these ridiculous...
People have got to justify their position, John. They've got an umpire department that does this. They analyse it.
Full-time, some of them.
It is ridiculous. They've got to justify their position.
Right. So they deserve criticism. So now what is wrong? I know there's a hue and cry now about sledging and hitting people's injured hand or... knocking them when they're injured and honing in on that injured side of their body. What is going on? If you can't sledge someone without being racist or gender biased, that is being homophobic, transphobic or racist, anything after that goes, surely, Don, surely. Can you think of any other reason?
Well... religion. I think when we play...
Oh, religion, yes. No, thank you. Religion, yep.
You draw the line, but yeah, we used to... Well, I used it. I used sledging and
of course. What is wrong with that? It's actually quite
humorous.
Because
you get into
humorous.
The head of the opposition if you can find out his Achilles heel and you use it.
So why do the press go on and on about this virtue signalling sanctimonious crap about...
What happened with... Hang on. What about you? You got used... Hang on. You lost a kidney.
No, it got ruptured.
Ruptured, but then you played with a guard. Okay, hang on. You played with a guard. Were you given any special dispensation by the opposition when you came back?
No, so this is my point, Don.
What? No, tell me.
Well, I'm about to tell you that the other thing that is criticised is people honing in on injuries that players play with, like if they got their hand strapped up, knocking their hand.
Pathetic was Carlisle?
And the umpires say, oh, that's not the spirit of the game, don't touch his hand. Jeez. If you are on the ground, now I don't want to make this about me, but seeing as you've brought it up, when I lost my kidney, I lost it in the semi-final in 60s.
Yeah, I remember.
I know, Don. I'm telling probably the listener.
Oh, I see.
We've got some listeners over in Los Angeles. Did you know
that? We've got them everywhere. Belarus. Did you know we've got some in Belarus?
No, I didn't, Don. No.
No. They're around the world.
Yeah. They're
London.
And America. We've got a couple of people. Steve Tomzik. Steve Tomzik. Do you know him?
Is he a friend of Glenn Lovett?
He's Glenn Lovett.
Is he a friend of Glenn Lovett?
Yes, they're in LA.
Hang on, didn't Steve Lawrence, what's his name, Steve?
Lovett.
I was going to say, Rebecca Lawrence. Did he marry Rebecca Lawrence?
How would we get onto this?
Asking questions.
I'm just saying.
I'm asking, is this the fellow?
Don, We've got a couple of listeners in LA, California, and I said, we better explain what you're talking about me being injured in case people don't know what you're talking about. That's what you said. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who don't know what you're talking about. I lost my kidney. In fact, we looked for it, couldn't find it. It was ruptured in my body. That's a joke. I lost my kidney in 67. And I came back and played in the first game in the ruck because Polly Farmer had left that year and I took over the number one ruck position in Geelong in 68. And I wore a guard around my waist to protect the only kidney I had. And the players who were right onto this, my opponents, they gave me, tried to disconcert me by coming on the other side of me and jumping into my either injured side or my good side. They tried to smack me. They did smack me. They smacked it. They spoke about it. They tried to put me off my game by honing in on an injury I had.
Who? Give me some names.
No, all of them.
I didn't.
Well, I can't give you all the names, Don. It's irrelevant, the names. The names are irrelevant. But I had plenty of duress tried to be heaped on me. And it is, I had no problem with that because it's part of the game. If you're out there playing,
that's right.
Yeah, cop it.
Exactly.
And why have we got in? I know the world is woke and we're saying, oh, don't say anyone's a rotten old sausage and don't hit them on the side of the... hit them on the leg because they got a corky or something. Mate, if you're out there, anything goes beside those three things I mentioned.
But they were juvenile, what they were trying to do. What was his name? Carlisle trying to hit the hand of Rampy. You'd wait and you'd do it in play and you'd make sure you do it and do it properly. I mean, weren't the Scott brothers trying to do something to Scott, what's his name, Nick Riewoldt, a few years ago?
Yes, they were.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I saw Michael Gardner, his first game for West Coast was at Footscray. I was
commentating.
You've
asked Michael to come on here.
You have? Why hasn't he come on?
Because the I think the coronavirus lockdown has... I'll have to clarify that. He's a good man, Michael.
Okay,
he's
his
very
first game.
Things to say.
I would have liked to have asked him about this, but the Footscray players targeted him. He went to centre half forward, West Coast, Western Oval, and as en masse, the Footscray players went around, started pushing and shoving him. His first game. Well, that'd be very disconcerting for a young boy.
It would, Don.
And those things went on, and that was just part of the game.
And
they're so precious nowadays. I said it last week. The journos don't write on the game; they write about instances. Give me something about the game and the personalities playing the game.
The people who are precious are the people who write about and comment on it, trying to make a huge story out of something that's nothing. And seriously, if you can tell me honing in on someone's injury is not really part of the game, give us a break. And what about the hue and cry, I'll use that word again, about the stops? Someone got their leg...
That was a bad one, wasn't it?
It was a very bad one.
I've never seen... Have you ever seen anything like that before?
No, I
haven't. Neither have I.
It was a absolute one out of the blue. It hardly ever happens. And then they decided that the company that makes the boots, was it Nike? Why would Nike make boots that are capable of gashing someone's leg open? They make those boots for sportsmen and women to wear around the world. Why wouldn't they be classed as legal, ratified? What is all that about? It was just a freak accident. Now we've gone haywire over it.
It was a horrific accident.
Horrific.
But when we started, when we played with those leather stops. You remember the leather stops?
Hope
they had
Sweeney,
fruit.
Yes.
I had Hope Sweeney's, but other people, Jenkins made boots and whoever else, White Diamond. But they were made, the stops were made of leather. And they had
layers.
Three layers of leather, yes,
three
very
nails.
Right. And three nails. And you had the boot studded and the umpires used to come in each game.
Yes.
And you had to turn your back and they'd run their hand over to make sure
boots.
There were no nails.
And what else would they do?
Well, they'd check your fingers to see whether you had any rings.
That's correct.
Right. Now, hang on. Let me go on. And players would literally come off the ground. Some days you'd jump into a player's back and you'd run your foot down their back.
Would you, Don?
Of course you would, yeah. Johnny.
You used to.
And there were plenty of others came away
you
with
used
it
to
as
kick
well.
People. Yeah, well, no, you only because you said you used to. I'm not saying that.
Well, I was reported for kicking. Yes,
that's
I
right.
Was.
With the Hope Sweeney stops, he used to try and inflict large gashes in people's torsos. Yeah, shocker. Hey, so go on. How'd you go today, Don? So go on. What was your point about that, Don?
No, I was just reflecting on what a teammate sent to me last week, how I ruined his career.
By kicking him?
No, by sitting on his knee.
You're deliberately trying to injure him?
I didn't know it was him. Anyway, let's go on. Listen, Tony Jewell.
Didn't know it was him.
Tony Jewell.
Yep.
Watched a game last week. He believes that the football is starting to swing around to maybe the game we liked or were played in Essendon and Port Power.
Yeah.
No, Richmond and Port Power last week. He said the two big forwards stayed on the forward line. They were going long, quick and direct down to the forward line. He's also noticed that this could be a trend because Brisbane are doing it or trying to do it. Gold Coast, I think, was another one that he said is trying to do it as well. And St Kilda, because they're changing. Now, he said they're changing their ruckman out of the forward line. They've got a young guy called Marshall as well as Paddy Ryder.
Good.
Now, when are they ever going to some of these coaches? They don't know about the long kicking. This is another problem. Coaches nowadays don't know about the long kicking game that used to exist. And maybe there could be a trend back. They should go back and have a look at some old tapes and see how the game could be played, or let's just take it a bit
further.
Couldn't
agree with you more, Donald. And when the game does start to swing back, give us a call and I'll start watching it again.
So will I. Right. I'd rather watch the netball.
Yeah, would you?
I would. I seriously love watching the netball. I've told you that.
What is it? What is it about the rules?
The athleticism, and the way these girls go hard at it all the time. It's on.
And they're very athletically, aesthetically pleasing.
I'm not interested in that. I'm just amazed at their skill, the way they can
pass
the ball.
It's still all right to be pleased by people's aesthetic appeal, men or women. You know, it's all right to say that person looks good, whether it's a man or a woman.
No, I don't watch it for that reason. I think they're very, they're very skilled.
But you keep the injection on hand just in case something fizzes you up while you're watching and you think, I'll go for the injection here and I'll just bang a bit of product into me snag and maybe just enjoy it in the confines of my own living room. You idiot. Now, Don, did you see... Now, I want you to comment on this. Connor McKenna, he stood out of, or he was not picked in one of the Essendon games due to homesickness. Did you see that? He came back from Ireland.
I understand. He went to Ireland in the coronavirus.
And he stood out of a game, or he was not selected due to... I've heard of a lot of injury or suspension or illness, but this was homesickness. That's unusual, isn't it, or not? But do you think that's... Could you... If you went over and played in Ireland on Gaelic football, would you sit out of a game there at Croke Park...
So what did he have...
..due to homesickness?
Did he have counselling?
I think he probably did. I'm not sure.
I would actually drop the boy and say, go back to Ireland.
Oh, harsh, Don. No.
John, do you want to... You're going onto a ground to win a game of football.
Yeah. Well, he's not going on. He was homesick. He stood out. Now, what do you think about this? This is where this has got to. Now, Jeff Horn.
Yeah, the boxer.
The boxer who beat...
Manny Pacquiao.
Yes.
In Brisbane.
Well done. He's fighting Tim Zhu, Costa's son.
I don't know whether Jeff should... I think he should just,
let me
give
finish
it away.
What I'm saying. Jeff Horn is fighting Tim Zhu in Townsville on August the 26th. You can get it on pay TV. What do you think the big controversy is about the fight?
The venue?
No, it could be, wouldn't you think? Maybe
Townsville, why would
yes.
they put
what do
a fight
you, what
on?
Do you think another controversy about the fight would be? That they've sledged one another, or they've said bad things, or there's bad blood between them, or they've racially abused one another? What do you think it would be? Do you know what the big... It might even be cancelled, the fight, because of this. Who enters the ring first? they have had arguments and lawsuits about Jeff Horn says he should enter the ring second because he's the champion.
Yes.
Tim Tszyu says no, he's the challenger or something, and there is a huge fracas going out on about who enters the ring first. Can you believe it? Can you believe that, Don?
Well, we used to, well, in the grand final, we
who ran onto the ground first?
No. We timed it to perfection that you didn't want to go out there too far, and we had it down to minutes and half minutes and 30 seconds to go so that we didn't waste energy. So I can understand there could be some psychological advantage.
Oh, yeah. What would that be? That who you come into the ring first?
First or second? There could be a little bit of gamesmanship.
When we played in the finals, they used to That's correct. They used to. You didn't see Rocket Rod here. He flicked as though he was tossing a coin, giving me the heads up. Heads up. No pun intended. We used to toss a coin. The clubs who entered the arena first. Remember, Happy Hammond led the side
Geelong
out.
Side in 1963.
Yeah, he ran he through played the street.
Did he have piano accordion?
He led the side out. I know, playing with the piano accordion.
With the check jacket and the check hat.
He did too. That's
the fedora.
That's exactly right.
Happy Hammond. That's he was right. on 3UZ, wasn't he? Happy Hour? Well, the Happy Hour.
Oh, could he? Happy ending. And so, Don, So he.
Who was the girl? Panda. Panda, wasn't it?
Yeah, Panda.
Panda and Happy Hammond.
That's right, Panda.
She was the barrel girl.
That's it, Donald.
Honey Free. Was it Honey Free?
No, we've done Honey. We've done Honey and Kid Young or whatever his name was.
Who were the other barrel girls? Jenny Ham?
Jenny Ham. The late Jenny Ham. I don't think she's with us any longer.
Who else was there?
Oh, I don't know. There's plenty of them.
No, there was only a few.
Oh, barrel girls. IMT barrel girls.
Carol who? Brad Smith's mum. Really? Brad Smith? Mm. He doesn't answer his calls, Bradley, either.
Yeah, you had to pass an IQ, not the women did, well, to be, you had to pass an IQ test. Have a listen to this.
One what, of to the, be a barrel girl?
Yeah. Tell me what you think of this. One of the barrel girls was a contestant on a quiz program. And you might find this interesting, Don. And the quizmaster said, it might have been Glenn Ridge, I don't know who was doing, and he said, in order to qualify, he said, you've got to answer this question on IQ or general knowledge. He said, to go through into the final draw to be a barrel girl, could you spell the word Mississippi? And one of the contestants thought about it for a while. And you might, this is not meant to be that humorous, but you might spell the word Mississippi. And they thought about it, this girl thought about it for a while, and she said, would that be the river or the state? And the person asking the question said, what, the Mississippi River or the state of Mississippi, would there be a difference between those two spellings? Which is a reasonable question because it was, would it be the river of the state? And he said, would there be a difference? And the girl said, well, in fact, if I know, would there be a difference? And he said, well, I'm not sure. You can go through and be a final contestant for the barrel girl. So I thought that's an interesting thing. If you were asked a question how to spell Mississippi, would you say, what, do you want to know the river or the state? Would you think there's a difference, Don?
There's no difference.
That's the point of it, Donald. That's the point of it. So here's the next thing that we're...
What was the point of that?
Well, shows how...
What?
Not necessarily the barrel girls, but anyone being asked that question, would you actually have to ask that? That would probably eliminate you from any further progress in getting through to the final if you had to ask that question. Now, I watched the Formula One. Formula One Grand Prix on the weekend in Britain.
Where?
Britain. Was it Silverstone, I think? And they finally got
like
it.
Watching paint dry.
It was too. It's so boring. Oh, you say, why do you watch it? Because you think one day you hope those
You're
two.
You're hoping someone's going to have a crash.
I'm hoping the two Mercedes cars won't just bolt from the start and only due to the tyres blowing up or them stuffing up a pit stop. That's the only reason it becomes competitive. So I was watching the F1 and they finally got it right. They now allow they now, and this is what I'm, reason I'm mentioning this is because I hope it spreads, not around the world, but I hope it spreads to this country before it even starts. They have a Black Lives Matter protest, which is fine because we're all into Black Lives Matter as long as every Black Lives Matter, not every Black Lives Matter, not just the ones that people have a political agenda about. But they had a protest about that, so some of them kneel and some of them stand and some of them wear the T-shirts, Black Lives Matter. And then, when they've got that out of the way, that little protest, they then are required to stand for the national anthem. So you can have the Black Lives Matter protest for a start. If you've got some political bent that you're on about, that's fine, and you can either join it or not join it. They give them the option. And then they say, right, thank you, that's over, like a minute or 30 seconds. Now would we all stand for the national anthem? And no one then kneels for the national anthem. Do you think that's a reasonable compromise?
About so you did you watch the start of the race? Did you watch
this?
Yes. Now, so what was the participation rate in the Black Lives Matter kneeling? Were there people who didn't kneel?
Yes, there were, but they, some of them wore the T-shirts. Mm. So they're saying it's up to you, and they all, have a message that comes on. They have a message about unity and inclusion.
It should include everybody.
It does, and every driver.
Everybody matters.
If you said all lives matter, Don, you'd be run out of the United States. It's only Black Lives Matter is what they're on about. So all the they play an advertisement which all the drivers are part of, and they say, quite rightly so, we are into inclusion and not against racism and all that, and they all are part of the ad that is played before the Grand Prix, and then if you wish to kneel and stand or whatever you do, and then you all stand for the national anthem. So. Let's hope that becomes a precursor for when any country's national anthem is played. At least we stand for it, or the players stand for it. And if they want to do a protest, they either do it before or after, but not during the country's national anthem. Would that be a reasonable compromise? Because, you see, all black lives don't matter, because there's a man called... who was shot outside his business because he held up a Donald Trump sign. He was shot and killed, a black man. And no one mentioned that. It wasn't even played on the social media. It wasn't even played on the mainstream media or CNN or anything, because it was considered not in the narrative of those black lives don't matter, but some other black lives do matter, like George Floyd.
You brought up George Floyd now. I didn't sleep last night. I was flicking through, I don't know where I was, on YouTube or whatever. There's a little bit more to that George Floyd story than what we got.
Well, I'm tempted.
He was caught in the car, something about in the car, if I remember. It was very late last night.
You will know from listening to this, anyone will know, we speak about topical things. We are the colour... The pigmentation of someone's skin has nothing to do with what we talk about. It just happens to be part of the narrative. The body cam footage that's come out of the preamble or the lead-up...
Is that what I watched last night? Because I was just fooling around and I saw George Floyd in a car arguing.
So the body cam footage from the police that arrested George Floyd to start with, before he unfortunately lost his life lying beside the police car. The lead up to that is extraordinary, and it puts a completely different aspect, not justifying it necessarily, but it puts a completely, and it's so dishonest by the media, the mainstream media in America, who won't show it because it doesn't suit their agenda or their narrative. He is seen in his own car saying to the police,
right,
"I can't breathe because he was full of fentanyl. He was nine times the amount of fentanyl in his body that they said was normally would kill someone from a drug overdose. They tried to get him out of the car. He resisted and started abusing in them. They were talking to him saying, settle down, calm down. They eventually, and he said, I'm claustrophobic. He said, and I can't breathe. This is in his own car. They got him out of the car. They put him in the police car. And in the police car, he said, I'm claustrophobic. I can't breathe. So they took him out of the police car and lay him down because he said, I want to lie down. They lay him down beside the police car. That is when the policeman put his knee on his neck and they say, I'm not saying this, they say that they he put his knee on his neck to pacify him. And in fact, he didn't die from asphyxiation. He died from a drug overdose. This is not me saying this, but if that is part of a conspiracy theory or a narrative or that has been caught on film, how come in the interests of being fair or having the whole story shown, this is not put on the media? And the mayor, the Attorney General of Minnesota, a bloke called Keith Ellison, who incidentally has been up on sexual harassment charges.
Well, it's got nothing to do with
Well, because he shouldn't be the Attorney General.
Well, anyway, just keep going. That's superfluous.
Of his partner, he's had...
Keep going.
He said he didn't release this footage, would have put a different bit of a different connotation.
My word, it would.
He said he didn't release it because he didn't want to jeopardise the fact that the policeman would be charged with his murder. Now, seriously, Don, I'm not saying yes, please.
Can I ask
you? No, just a minute. We've got
No, I was just going to say, I didn't see him being abusive. I saw a bloke with his hands out being polite.
No.
Who?
The other stuff you said may or may not be right, but one thing I'm not saying it's wrong, but I saw a bloke who had his hands out saying, yes, officer, what can I do for you, officer? My mum's just died. I agree with what you're saying, but
I can't breathe.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm claustrophobic.
He wasn't being abusive.
Well, he was being abusive. He was resisting arrest.
Well,
no, he was resisting arrest, mate. They
pulled a gun pretty early.
The what?
He was pretty scared because they pulled the gun straight out. I'd be pretty scared too if they pulled a gun out on me.
Well, if you are resisting arrest, what do you carry a gun for? And just in case
they had the gun out straight away before he even got a chance to resist.
That's not right. Well, anyhow.
Well, I've been in America and the gun was pulled on us in a taxi straight away. They didn't ask questions. The gun came out straight away.
When there has been many police assassinated by just actually being assassinated by blacks and whites and blacks.
Because everyone's allowed to carry a gun.
Exactly. That I'm not defending their gun laws. But the coppers would be pretty gun-shy, if you'll pardon the expression, they'd be pretty wary of someone that they're trying to arrest who's on drugs shot.
You see what you want, what you would choose to see.
No.
I saw about his hands out and saying, look, officer, I don't want any trouble. I thought he was being very polite.
And they were polite?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he wasn't being abusive. You said that.
I said he was being abusive in that he was struggling and stopping. They tried to handcuff him. It took three of them to get his hands behind his back. Now, I'm not defending. I'm just saying, in the interests of trying to get a reasonable picture over it, the vision and the audio speaks for itself. I'm saying he was being abusive in resisting arrest. Maybe the wrong word.
I think he was shitting himself. That's what I think was going on.
He was absolutely drug fucked. He was.
Yeah. Well,
so is that the police's fault that? He's hard to handle. They put him in the police car and you said then they took him out. They took him out because he said he was claustrophobic and he wanted to lie down. So it just paints a different picture, not justifying anything that's gone on, just showing that should be actually explained when you're trying to consider that the whole of America has been burnt down because of that incident.
Can I bring it back to a social issue?
Yes.
Do you think we should still be persisting with the contact tracing that we're doing in Victoria at the moment in relation to this corona? It's a failure. Why wouldn't they put their money, or better direct their money, into improving the testing turnaround and also the reporting of cases? Did you listen to what I said?
Yes, of course. And I think our friend Annie Van Diemen was in charge of the contact tracing.
It's doing nothing. And a lot of money's been spent on it.
Damn.
Wouldn't it be better to put it into the turnaround? In other words, increase the result. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 days. You get it back in 8 hours or whatever it is, so that you can get on with your life. You don't have to isolate after you've done your test as long, and then report on it a little bit better than what they're doing.
Yes, Don, I think it's a very, very fair point.
What about the meatworks? Have you looked into those? Why are they closed?
No, I haven't looked into the meatworks. Well, because coronavirus is rampant in it.
Why is it rampant in the meatworks? Why is that industry being singled out?
Because they have no interest in obeying any instructions about social distancing. And it's a bit like Dan Bongiorno, the man from America, said. So what did he say? Lockdowns don't work.
Well, I think it's a little bit more than that.
Do you? What do you think?
Because
it is?
Australians are not prepared to work in meat processing or abattoir. They have to recruit, and they do it under the 4, 5, 6 visa. I think that allows people to come into this country to work in the meatworks. They're working under maybe for 6 months,
like the fruit pickers.
Yes, exactly like the fruit pickers, because there are a group of Fijians that are locked up.
Fijians
who came out and were picking just in the southeast of Melbourne, an orchard, and they're still locked in the house, a group of them. They can't get back to Fiji.
No, they couldn't.
They couldn't because
of
the
virus. Is
this
racial profiling, Donald?
Well, I'm just saying why Australians can't get out and work. We've got to import labour because Australians think some jobs are below them. And what happens with the people that come from Asia working in, they then live together.
Maybe socially, some jobs.
They work together and they live together.
Maybe some jobs are below them because they get paid too much not to work.
That is my point, that is the welfare in Australia is not... It should be really looked into.
Entitlement and Benefit Society, Donald.
Beg your pardon?
The Entitlement and Benefit Society, where your taxes go. Do you pay taxes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, good. So
what's that got to do with...
Well, that's where your money goes to the government
exactly
to
right.
pay
and
people not
I
to
hope
work.
Out, again, you hope out of this coronavirus, a few things happen. We get rid of state governments, and we also really start and police the welfare system because people do not want to work. You can live on the welfare system. You can combine incomes, and there are numbers of people living in one residence. And when you pool your resources, you don't have to work when you're on welfare. And it's going down to third generation on welfare in around Cranbourne too. There's an area that is rampant with regard to welfare.
You're a font of knowledge, Donald.
No, not a font of knowledge. I'm just stating that I'm starting to get really pissed off with the government and the way it is run.
Well, I see. So when I say, Donald,
I'm getting frustrated, but I think there is a way to solve this. We've got bureaucrats who've got no imagination.
So when I say the government is about as incompetent as you can
get. But your wording is wrong. I don't like the word corrupt.
Oh, don't you?
No.
Well, I'll get the definition of it.
No, please don't. We won't. You love doing this.
All right. Well, then.
I don't like the
word. They're not honest.
No.
Dishonest.
It needs a bit of a shake.
Sneaky.
Up. I'd try and solicit ex-businessmen who've made a go in their own field, come in and advise, and let's get this country on the way. I have heard nothing federally as what we're going to do moving forward.
Federally?
Federally.
Oh, federally, yeah. I thought you said...
You are a smart ass.
You've heard nothing federally. Well... The Frederick government is frederically going well.
You give me the shit sometimes.
So how do these people keep their
Hang
jobs?
Hang on. I'm just trying to stimulate conversation, but you're not interested.
The Frederick government, of course I am. I'm frederically interested in everything that's going on. Don't you fuckwit. So tell me how this person keeps his job, or not... Not keeps his job, but how isn't he singled out for
who?
Racism?
Who? What's
you know
his
the.
Name?
I'll What's tell his you his name is. You know the Beirut explosion. In
what?
Do you know the explosion in Beirut?
Oh, but yes.
What's the capital of Beirut?
No, it's...
Oh, no, God.
Seriously. Do you realise...
I've had a mental block. I should know that.
Apparently, we've got... That was where they stored a lot of what? Agricultural...
2,500 tonnes. What?
Or Syria.
No, the capital of Beirut. Beirut is the capital of... Lebanon, right.
Okay, but do you know how many tons did you say?
2,500.
Okay, well, apparently we've got a facility in Newcastle four times as big storing the same chemical.
Yeah, but that's used for agricultural purposes.
I understand, and also bomb making.
That's what it's... So this is my point of bringing this up. How does this person not get sanctioned? A bloke on the project called Waleed Ali? Waleed, did he win a gold Logie? Someone said that.
Yeah, keep going.
He was interviewing someone on the project, and the person he was interviewing said that the Israelis were responsible for the bomb. And
what, setting it off?
That's what they said. That's what this person said. And he, as a devil's advocate, didn't say what information he got to back that up, just said, oh... How that is racism in that is anti-Semitic and as bad as racist as you can get. How come though that broadcast and that program and that person is not taken over the coals?
Aren't they at loggerhead?
Of course they are, but they said Hezbollah, who was part of the government, they said they were responsible and they have denied it. How would they know anything until there's inquiry done? How do you let someone get away with saying Israel are responsible for it without pushing back on it? Not that I've got any vested interest in Hezbollah, Israel, but if you or I said that, you would be ripped a new one. You would be, just by... But no, because people just get intimidated by who some people are. And... You'll think this is racist, Donald, but this is why we get intimidated and are not discussing this. A study of the Australian Transport Safety Bureau said that of the 16,000-odd international licences that are given to people who come from overseas, tourists, to drive, he said most of the accidents on the Great Ocean Road are caused by... Who do you reckon they're caused by?
By the overseas drivers.
Yeah, and predominantly who? Asians.
Well, yes, because they're
not familiar with the road rules, and they drive on the wrong side of the road in their country of origin. Someone said
different
that
side of the road to us.
I think that's the same as saying different side of the road.
Well, have you been to America? Driven in America? Have you?
Yes, Don.
You have. I found it very difficult. Yes. How did you adjust?
Yes, well, you've got to really concentrate. And you're going down the Great Ocean Road looking at one of the most picturesque drives in the world, you tend not to concentrate. And they said that it is racist and to say that Asians cause most of the accidents on the Great Ocean Road. Why is that racist? That is a statement of fact. How can that be? The Vic Roads and the RTA said that. But you, if you say that, you're saying that's...
Yeah, but isn't it common sense? I tried driving in America. I found it intimidating, so I didn't drive. You make that decision yourself.
That's correct. I drive over there because I'm very good at driving.
Left-hand side.
Very good. Yep.
Whatever side it is.
That's correct. So there's plenty of anomalies. I see, a music teacher at the New Haven College, a bloke called Keith.
Yes, we know about child molestation.
Yeah, child molestation. A white man. I'm just saying the pig color of someone's skin has nothing to do with the things.
Yeah, but why are you going down this track? It's got nothing to...
Well, there's pieces of shit that are in our society, mate. Julian Knight, I see, has gone on a hunger strike. Who could care if Julian Knight goes on a hunger strike? Mm. Now, seriously, who would? Why is that an issue? Why is that a topic even brought up in the media? Anything else, Donald?
No, Johnny.
Would you like me to tell you another story that you won't get or anything?
Go.
Right. So this is how this bloke, this colonel, I'll just tell you this.
A colonel
was sitting in his office one day and he had not a lot to do. And he picked the phone up and he said to the girl, person on the switchboard, put me through to the supply department. And the person switched him through, and this new kid answered the phone and said, "Yeah, what do you want?" And the colonel couldn't believe that anyone would speak to him like that. Incensed he was. And he said, "Quickly, my boy, get pad and pen and give me a complete stock on hand of all the inventory we have." And the kid said, "Hang on a minute, will you?" And the colonel couldn't believe that he was just ropeable. And the kid went away and he came back in 5 minutes. He said, "Are you there?" And the colonel said, "Of course I'm here." He said, "We got 15 guns, 32 tanks, 22 motorbikes and one Daimler for the fat-assed colonel." And the colonel said, "I beg your pardon." The kid said, "Are you deaf?" He said, "32 guns, 22 motorbikes, 9 mortars and 1 Daimler for the fat-assed colonel." And the colonel said, "Do you know who you're speaking to down this end of the phone?" And the kid said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, for your information, my boy, this is the fat-assed colonel." And the kid said, "Oh, Jesus," he said. "Do you know who's speaking down this end of the phone?" The colonel said, "I do not." He said, "Well, go and get fucked."
Open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.